The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In our opening prayer, in the verse we'll be singing during the Alleluia, and in our Gospel, we hear repeated three times, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I think this is really the key for understanding this feast of the baptism of the Lord and for understanding our Gospel and our other readings. I want to take you back a little bit to when I was a small child. It's something that a ritual that my own father did with me and with my sisters, and that is every night when we went to bed, my father would come in, he'd put his hand on my head, and he'd bless me. Real simple blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God bless you. And he did this until we were teenagers. Imitating my father's action, I did the same blessing with my own children right up through high school. Now, I have to tell you that as I prayed and I thought about this reading where God the Father is blessing his Son, "This is my beloved Son, this is my blessed Son in whom I am well pleased," I got to thinking about a question, and that was, Jesus is baptized, okay, but up until now, he hasn't done anything. The Father doesn't say, "This is my beloved Son, who's done various things successfully, who's been turning water into wine, or healing lepers, or preaching anything." He simply says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, it got me to thinking about those blessings I received from my father. I have a 15-year-old son. We don't always get along. We don't always see eye to eye. When I was my son's age, when I was 15, we didn't always see eye to eye either. We disagreed about all kinds of things. We disagreed that time about the war in Vietnam. We disagreed about civil rights. We disagreed about all kinds of social and political and religious questions. The list is pretty endless. But the one thing that I knew, the one thing I was absolutely certain of, was that I was my father's beloved son. That he was pleased with not with what I said. He wasn't pleased with a lot of things that I did. He wasn't even necessarily pleased with a lot of things that I stood for. That came later, I hope. But he was pleased with me. He loved me for who I was. And it's the power, it seems to me, of that blessing that really is the heart of these readings. And there's a flip side to that as well. That is not being beloved, not being pleasing to one's father or one's mother is a devastating thing. I also think back to when I was 15. I was 15 in 1970, and I remember going to a friend's house. It was the day of the shooting of the students at Kent State. It was a terrible day. Everybody was in shock. This was the National Guard had gunned down and killed 8 students, and I think they wounded another 8 or 9 young people. Now, regardless of the pros and cons of that, again, it was a shocking day, and we were talking to my friend's father. And my friend's father said this. He said, well, those students deserve what they got. They shouldn't have been out there demonstrating. And my friend said, but Dad, I'm against the war. I'm opposed to the war. It could have been me. He said, you shouldn't have been there. If it had happened to you, you would have deserved it too. And it was like a door slammed shut. It was like a door closed on their relationship. I don't know whether that relationship ever recovered from that. But it's the power of blessing, and it's the power of cursing. Every one of us needs a father who blesses us. We need more than just an affirmation that we've done a good job, that they're proud of us. We need to be blessed. We need to be affirmed. We need to be told that I love you because you're my son, because you're my daughter, not because of any of your accomplishments, so that you can be secure in the love of a father or of a mother. Now, the reason this is important for this feast day is that in our tradition, this feast has been called the Theophany, the revelation of God. And what is it that's being revealed? What's being revealed is the very nature, the very essence of who God is. Now, remember, there's a first theophany, a first revelation of God that we encounter in the very beginning of the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. We all know the story. There's a burning bush. There's a shepherd named Moses. There's a conversation that goes on. And what does Moses ask? Moses says, who are you? Tell me your name. And what is God's response? God's response is, I am who I am. This mysterious name that in one sense means everything, in another sense is senseless, is nonsense. But at the Jordan, and in this whole season that we celebrate of Christmas and Epiphany and the baptism of the Lord, God is revealed as what? God is revealed as this mystery of love, of this mystery of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit united together in a community of self-giving love, of self-giving care and affection for each other. So what do we see in our gospel? The Son enters the Jordan. The Spirit descends like a dove to anoint Jesus as Messiah. The heavens open, and a voice, the voice of the Father, speaks and reveals himself in this intimate relationship of love to the Son by saying what? This Jesus is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So God, this God who has, as I say, is revealed as a mystery at Sinai, is revealed to us today as a love so profound and so self-giving that even within the very heart of God himself is this communion, is this community of loving persons. The great fathers of the church spoke of the Trinity in this way: one who loves, one who is loved, and then the love that they share between them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the God who created everything that is out of self-giving love is revealed to us at the baptism of the Lord today as this self-emptying, self-giving offering of love. Jesus is revealed to us as the self-emptying love of the Father, a love that gives completely and fully without counting the cost. Because, of course, God needs nothing from us. God receives nothing from us that God does not already possess. Yet God desires to make each one of us a beloved son and a beloved daughter. And we know this as parents. We're glad that our children love us, but we love our children before they ever respond to us in love. We're grateful for their love, but in one sense, we don't need their love. Our love is a love that calls on us to empty ourselves out, to give to them, to go beyond the limits of what we might have thought we were even capable of as men and women before we became mothers and fathers. Now, during the Christmas season, we see expanding facets of this revelation of God in our world. At Christmas, what do we see? We see Jesus, we see God revealed to us as a vulnerable, powerless baby. We see God taking on our littleness, our vulnerability, our limitations. At the Epiphany that we celebrated last week, we see those who looked for God in the impersonal forces of nature, in the stars, being led by a star to the way in which God desired to reveal himself to us as a little child, born into our world, born into our human nature, born into our history. They're the first of many who will come to believe and who will adore him. And then at the Jordan, Jesus is revealed as the one who has humbled himself to take on the sins of the world, to take on our sin, to take on our alienation from God. And that's what's symbolized by his entry into the waters of baptism. John the Baptist says, I'm the one you should be baptizing. You shouldn't do this. Jesus says, I have to. Go ahead. He's taking on our sins. He's taking on our burden. At the Jordan, the way in which the world will be saved is revealed to us. God will save us by the grace and by the power of weakness, of renunciation, of self-giving, of sacrifice. Now we know that the world that Jesus came to redeem doesn't believe in the power of love, not understood that way. The world that Jesus came to redeem believes in salvation through might, through raw power, through destruction and violence. First, the wisdom of the world says, we somehow get rid of the wicked. And then we build a new and a better world on the ruins of the old one. But this isn't Jesus' way. Jesus is the beloved Son, securely rooted in the love of God, which is always a love that gives and doesn't take, which is always a love that blesses and never curses, which is always a love that lays down its life and does not take life. We're baptized into that love. We're baptized into that God. And it's for this reason that we can then say that each one of us is a beloved son and a beloved daughter. We know that God is pleased with us, not because of what we've done or what we failed to do, but because God is our Father who's created us and who loves us, and who desires to give us everything that's good. Now, does this mean that God doesn't have expectations of us? Of course. Of course. We're drawn to be like Jesus, to live like him, to think like him, to judge like him, and to ultimately to act like him. But we also know that God's love, if we accept on the deepest level that we are God's beloved, has the power to order the disorder in our lives. And we know that through our witness as the body of Christ, that God's love, that sacrificial, self-giving love of God that's revealed today in this feast, has the power to order the disorder in our world and to help to heal its many wounds and divisions. So because we are sons and daughters, we are empowered to bless each other as God has blessed us. We're empowered as husbands and wives to bless and anoint each other. We're empowered as mothers and fathers to name our children as beloved sons and daughters and to bless them. We're empowered as men and women in the workplace, in our neighborhood, in our community, in our world, to show that the only power worth having is the power to serve, that the only power worth having is the power of love given freely, given sacrificially, given fully.